down by satellite. Coming to you in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad. You've been living in a dream world. This is the world as it exists today.
The only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. They'll say that because of the dangers that we face in the world, we need more authority. We need more power.
Surveillance is at an all-time high. The Constitution is being violated every day. Your gun rights are disappearing day by day. Learn how to fight back legally and responsibly. With your host, Steve Gates, on A Call to Rights. Call in now, 602-277-5369, or nationally, 1-866-536-1100.
So, as we set out to defeat the divisive forces that would take freedom away, I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice, from my cold, dead hands.
Here's your host, Steve Gates. Always refuse to be a victim.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting hour in our never-ending adventure to freedom. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this radio station, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, and me, your humble host, Steve Gates, with our show that's been here well over 10 years, guaranteeing us nothing, but the main themes of the radio show have always been this and will continue to be this throughout all time and space. Always refuse to be a victim, because a victim is simply someone with no options. Always fight back legally and responsibly. And the sub-theme of the radio show, I'm sure we don't get any disagreement out there in cyberspace and radio land, is never again be a victim, as we say, but always remember this, never be a spectator in the fight for freedom. This show would not be possible without the excellence of our producer, LJ, and we thank her for navigating these generous 50,000 watts your way on this beautiful Sunday morning here, the 9th of February of 2020. And we want to say and welcome our Facebook Live audience around the world. We'll do our very best to get your questions aired here in the shortest possible time. To get involved in the show, it's very simple. Our Call to Rights hotline has always been this, 602-277-5369, and let's light it up nationally as we usually do, and we implore you to call at 1-866-536-1100. Ladies and gentlemen, a very special guest we'll be introducing in just a few moments. He, by the name of Robert Spalding, a retired United States Air Force general who knows what's going on when we talk about China. We're talking about not the people of China, per se, many of them suppressed with overt surveillance and so many other things, but we're talking today about how the Communist Chinese Party is indeed affecting us here in America. A book entitled Stealth War, How China Took Over While America Slept, by Brigadier General Robert Spalding. Ladies and gentlemen, a brand new book from Penguin Random House. And with that, a brief introduction not only of our guest, but some of the topics that we'll talk about within the book. And here I quote, "While our leaders have been embroiled in domestic bickering and other foreign disputes, the Chinese have waged the six-front war on America's economy, military, diplomacy, technology, education, and infrastructure. If left unchecked, it threatens our most fundamental freedoms that set America apart from the rest of the world. But it's not too late for us to undo, that is, the shocking deep infiltration by the Chinese Communist Party." On the very back cover of the book, our special guest writes, and I quote, "The Chinese Communist Party's fundamental loathing of our Bill of Rights and other legal protections should be chilling to anyone who values freedom. It's the primary reason he's writing this book. He wants to alert the world to China's stealth war and its strategy to dominate the planet by focusing on six spheres of influence. That is the economy, the military, global diplomacy, technology, education, and infrastructure." And now a brief introduction of our very special guest, Robert Spalding, retired from the U.S. Air Force as a Brigadier General, after more than 26 years of service. He completed his career as the Senior Director for Strategic Planning to the President at the National Security Council and was the Chief Architect for the National Security Strategy. He's a former China strategist for the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon, as well as a Senior Defense Official and Defense Attaché to China. He earned his Doctorate in Economics and Mathematics from the University of Missouri and is fluent in Mandarin. With that, let us welcome to our show here, the Calder Ranch Radio Show, General Spaulding. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you, sir. And again, thank you for your service to our nation. It's not every day that we get to talk to a B-2 driver, and I want to mention this. Part of my life, of course, is the Dr. Sky brand, where we talk about astronomy, space, aviation, and weather. And I'm going to ask you, sir, not to put you in an embarrassing situation, but I'd love to have a separate interview with you about one of America's most amazing and advanced aircraft, the B-2 stealth bomber. What say you?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic machine. You know, if you look at the story of the development of the B-2, they had 10 things that they were always working, and none of them had to do with the amount the airplane cost. It really was basic science and engineering. It's a fantastic marvel of American ingenuity.
Absolutely, sir. And many of our listeners out there may not have ever seen a B-2 bomber, but I would imagine the most prolific place for them to ever probably see one was what? Sitting in a sports stadium and seeing this thing that looks like something from outer space seemingly glide across the sky. That must be an amazing scene from your cockpit.
Yeah, and I've done quite a few flyovers in my day. And it's always a joy to see, I'm sure, from the ground.
Absolutely, General. Well, we'll press on with the main topics here. Again, you're our hero today, and there are many heroes out there who consider what we talk about here on the Call to Rights Radio Show, the continual preservation of our freedoms. That's why we call this show A Call to Rights. But let's start off a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. Talk a little bit about how, in your opinion, before we go to the break in about 3 or 4 minutes, why you feel so strongly that China, that is not the per se the people of China, many, of course, are like us, of course, want freedom, but why should we be so concerned about the Communist Chinese Party? And please take it from there, because I think many of us are asleep, as the subtitle of the book is.
Well, you know, I was selected for a prestigious program in the Department of Defense called the Olmsted Scholar Program. And as part of that program, I went and studied Chinese at our Defense Language Institute for a year. And then in 2002, from 2002 to 2004, I went to live in China. So I got to experience China, meet the people, learn the language, the culture, the history, the geography, traveled all over China, really loved the people of China. And that's really how my exposure to China began. But that led to a path that began in New York City in the summer of 2013, and eventually culminated with my time at the White House during the first year of the Trump administration. And you know, it was a journey of discovery for me. It went from, you know, really at the end of my time initially in China,
yes,
really
sir,
wanting to come back and experience this wonderful society and culture. And really, it ended up where in 2014, as I began to study the competition with China, I realized that in many ways, the competition between the U.S. and China had become very similar to the competition we had with the Soviet Union during the Cold War, although more focused on economics and finance. The only problem being, and the challenge for America being,
yes, sir,
that the Soviet Union looked more like the United States currently does, and China looked more like the United States did back then. In other words, we were in an economic and financial and an informational competition that the U.S. was losing and that China was winning.
General, you say it so well, and we have a whole hour or less than that to continue our conversation here before we go to the break in just a moment. But we're getting on our Facebook Live commentary here. People, of course, saying in Mandarin, ni hao. And I would just like to say to those people out there that speak Mandarin, I have a little bit of a talent there, but nothing like you, General. I would say to them, I'd like to have them share with me a Qingtao beer, Ibe Qingtao Pichu. But I think you know it so well and so much better. But on a very serious note, sir, I know you're in a crowded place and we're trying to hear you the best we can. And if that's the best we can do, we'll take what we can get. Again, we want to thank our very special guest of this hour on the Call to Rights Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen, Brigadier General Robert Spaulding, United States Air Force retired. He has a book which everybody within the sound of this radio station should definitely get a copy of. If not, listen to this radio show. It's entitled Stealth War: How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept, and We're Not Kidding When We Say It. We thank all of you. 602-277-5369, the local call to rights hotline number, and 1-866-536-1100. And as LJ counts us down to the break, we'll be right back as we promote to you, ladies and gentlemen, so many of the proud sponsors keeping the Call to Rights radio show alive, and we hope we'll continue, and you too. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
The first rule of unrestricted warfare: there are no rules and nothing is forbidden. We'll be rejoining our very special guest, Brigadier General Robert Spalding, on his book, Stealth War, in just a moment at 17 minutes after the hour. But we'd like to promote an organization that we're so proud of, ladies and gentlemen. Shen Yun is made in the USA and cannot be seen in communist China. Shen Yun is receiving 5,000 years of traditional culture and reviving it well. Each year, Shen Yun features a brand new show with a full orchestra and 40 dancers. The digital backdrop is awe-inspiring and offers glimpses into heavenly realms. Shen Yun coming to the Valley of the Sun, ladies and gentlemen, through February and into early March. And you, ladies and gentlemen, can go ahead and get tickets by calling these particular numbers that we're going to give out right now. 800-880-0188. That's 800-880-0188. Or just go to shenyun.com/Arizona. Because as our friend, the good general, knows, Falun Gong is certainly not allowed to be existing in China. And the Shen Yun particular troop that comes here is showing us the beautiful side of China. General, welcome back. Let's talk about something that I think many Americans do not need. I mean, they do need, excuse me, to know about. And it's their homework for me, the host of this radio show. Talk to us about this book that the communist Chinese colonels wrote called Unrestricted Warfare.
Well, so the book came out in 1999, and I remember reading the passages of the book back then, and to be honest with you, I didn't understand it, and and that is because I looked at it from the point of view of the West and how we conduct warfare. And really, when you look at the book through a Western lens, it really doesn't make sense. It's not until you look at it through a Chinese lens, particularly, you know, thinking about books like Art of War or periods within China, like the Three Kingdoms period, where the focus on competition with an adversary is more on subterfuge, more on using spies, more on, you know, creating chaos within the leadership ranks of your adversary and really getting your adversaries to fight amongst themselves.
Yes, sir.
And using money to buy them off. And when you begin to think of warfare as a continuum that really is always in existence, and you know, we tend to think of you know, if we're not at war in the United States, then we must be at peace, and really that's a different way of thinking about conflict than what the Chinese think about. And so if you think about a world in which conflict is ever present and you're constantly trying to jockey for position and gain power at the expense of your adversary. And when you read the book, you know, according to the world as it currently exists, where we have a globalized economy and financial system, we have connectivity with the internet nearly around the globe. When you think of it like that, and you realize that the Chinese Communist Party has been waging this all-aspect conflict for decades now.
Yes, sir.
And you realize how eroded our economy and society have become as a result of it, then you can really begin to understand what those two colonels were writing about in 1999. But the world that they were writing for,
yes, sir,
quite frankly, at the time, was just coming into existence. It was just being manifest. And certainly after China entered the WTO in 2001, it really accelerated. And I think what people don't understand is from the time China entered WTO until 2017, we lost over 70,000 factories in America. We lost over 13 million jobs. Whole communities were destroyed. And behind that destruction came the influx of fentanyl produced by
Chinese pharmaceutical factories.
And absolutely.
So the wholesale destruction of our country has been aided and abetted by this close association with our elites, primarily corporate America and Wall Street, with the Chinese Communist Party. And so the American people noticing that something has gone wrong but not being able to explain it, that's what the book's for. It explains the background and context for the destruction of our society. It explains why the national security strategy seeks to reset the balance between the U.S. and China and the
yes,
world
sir.
And to reforge a world, a free world where democratic countries are working together economically, financially, and informationally to promote and protect our freedom and to preserve the Republic of the United States, which is a beacon, has been a beacon for decades.
Absolutely.
For the free world.
Absolutely, sir. You say it so well, and that's why we're lucky to have people like yourself who know this stuff. You didn't make this stuff up. You served your country. You did some amazing things, and you're continuing to do some amazing things. Our local Call to Rights hotline, 602-277-5369, nationally, 1-866-536-1100. It's rare to have a United States Air Force general who not only, of course, flew for many of these top secret aircraft in this nation, but equally important, part of the National Security Council. Describe that to people who don't have an idea what the National Security Council is and how close that is right there in the White House to the President of the United States.
Well, it is the personal staff of the President. Really, the National Security Council has the responsibility to essentially, on behalf of the President, you know, look to the interagency to identify challenges to the preservation of the Republic and come up with solutions and options. And so, you know, the benefit that I had while being at the National Security Council was a similar benefit that those who were in the National Security Council during the Eisenhower administration enjoyed. In other words, for the first time in many decades, I was allowed to kind of think and look out into the future and really try to understand what were the challenges America faced, and then how do we, as a government, begin to protect those, build those into the fabric of our national security policy-making process and preserve our republic into the future, because, quite frankly, that has not been the character of the National Security Council since the end of the Eisenhower administration, because many of that strategy-making process had been essentially by the Kennedy administration dismantled
yes, sir.
And never rebuilt.
Did you serve in that particular capacity under Presidents Bush, Obama, and, of course, President Trump? What particular time are we talking about?
So I did serve during the Obama administration on the National Security Council staff because I was advising the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So
wow.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is the senior military advisor to the president. So his staff, along with the chairman himself, attends National Security Council meetings in order to provide advice to the president.
Yes, sir. And you've been advising the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But, ladies and gentlemen, General Robert Spalding is advising us today. His book, and I'm really serious about this, folks. We don't make a profit on any of this. We're here because we love what we talk about on the subject of our country and our Constitution. A brand new book that everybody within the sound of my voice or watching us on Facebook Live, if you care about the integrity of America, about the things you're going to hear, a brand new Penguin Random House book entitled Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. Sir, we're going to come up here to the break in just a few minutes, but what I wanted to ask you, we got about 2.5 minutes, and I know you're good at this. I just wanted to talk to you about and ask you, what do you feel is the singular most important thing that Americans should be concerned about when we're talking about what Communist China is doing to America? What is it?
So the Chinese Communist Party has taken the technology and the business models of Silicon Valley, and essentially with the introduction of 5G, they are attempting to take over the global economy.
Wow.
They're going to do that by having access to data, not just within China, but everywhere, by virtue of the fact that they're subsidizing these networks to countries that really can't afford them. And eventually what they seek to do is use Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, which are essentially the major tech companies in China, to overtake companies like Facebook, Amazon, and Google, to have access to your data, to be able to mine that data to create economic wealth
wow.
for the Chinese Communist Party, and also to begin to collect intelligence and influence populations at the individual level like they are currently doing within China with the social credit score.
This needs to change, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest did not make this up. He did not wake up after a bad dream and decided to just pontificate or blovate on something that is totally ridiculous. The whole concept of 5G, many of our listeners have great concerns about the health and welfare status of that, but now you're bringing something even more alarming. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about a book. Your homework from this host is to get a copy. It's on the internet. You can download the PDF. Read Unrestricted Warfare. No rules, nothing forbidden. And right, General, many of the military aircraft that we have defending America, like the F-35, right here, Luke Air Force Base, I go there all the time. It's very possible, as you describe in your book, that many of those components are manufactured by China. What the hell is the stopping of the ability there to hack into that and destroy us? We're not paranoid. You're not paranoid. But, General, that is a real viable concern. Say you. What say you?
Absolutely. They're making circuit boards for the F-35. I can think of no worse threat for the American people with regard to protecting the skies above America. But more importantly, I'm concerned, as I've said, about the fact that they can watch what you do every single day with the introduction of 5G and the ability to control your data.
Well, any nation, no matter what it is, there's no hate coming out, no hate speech from this host, and I'm sure from many of our listeners. We obviously love the Chinese people, but we do not like this communist Chinese government. And folks, no matter what you're doing, if you're riding around in your car and going out to go some big store and buy a big screen TV that has surveillance in it and all these other things that we're doing, watching sports, remember, there is really a dark side to this world, and it's not something that we're making up. We're not paranoid on this radio show. We talk with great guests, and we believe in this particular radio show, we really do. Not to compliment myself or our producer, LJ, I think we knock it out of the park with some of the most incredible guests. And wait till you hear throughout this show who we have in weeks to come. Our very special guest, General Robert Spalding. His book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America Elite Slept, 602-277-5369. The callers are coming in, and we'll begin with Judy as soon as we come back from this very important break that keeps this radio show alive and well on this radio station for well over 10 years. It's Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Go to calltorights.com right now to learn so much more about our very special guest this week. We'll be right back after these important commercial announcements.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Cates.
Freedom of speech and expression. Freedom of every person to worship God in his or her own way. Freedom from want and freedom from fear. Inalienable rights that we have in America that should be, of course, worldwide. Who would dispute that? In just a few moments, we'll continue here at 35 minutes after the hour with our special guest, Stealth War, with Brigadier General Robert Spalding. But new sponsors come to the Call to Rights radio show, and we thank you for that. There's no place like home, and have you been thinking about selling your home to downsize or upsize? Then get your free comparative market analysis today from Phil Ramos, the firefighter realtor with eXp Realty. Phil and his team of 40-plus agents are ready to help you sell your home for more money in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of problems. Call Phil Ramos today at 480-253-0679, 480-253-0679, or visit him and his website, justsoldbyphil.com. Let's come back to our very special guest, General Spalding. Thank you for joining us. Let's go to the callers right now, and let's welcome Judy in Phoenix. Good morning, Judy.
Yes, an outstanding guest, and thank you, General Spalding. I just happened to be watching Secretary Pompeo last night at National Governors Association when he was talking about a U.S. collaboration summit co-hosted by the National Governors Association, as well as the Chinese People's Association for Friendship and Foreign Countries. And he went on to explain how through this association, we're being taken over. I do know that our local college, in fact, in some of my literature, I put out a flyer here, and I exposed Agenda 21 and Agenda, now it's called Agenda 2030.
Yes.
Well, our local city councils are loaded with people who are bringing this on, whether we like it or not. In our college, they sponsored in 2013 ICLEI, or the sustainability, and it sounds good. They even had a sponsor. One of the people came in. It was Jeffrey Smith, who talks against GMOs. However, on the other hand, it is linking us into this push for global government, and I just wondered if you could expound. I'm sorry I can't be more detailed, but...
I think you've been very well detailed, Judy, okay, but General, let's also mention to this audience one more time as you respond to Judy that this whole 5G thing, I mean, it's totally amazing. Everybody sees these slick commercials about how sexy and cool it is, and the back end of this is, God forbid, if this is left for the communist Chinese to hack into. But let's hear your response to Judy first.
Well, so I think, you know, I was horrified when I was a defense attaché in Beijing, when I was invited to go to the Chinese Communist Party, and I realized that the Chinese Communist Party, having gone because of the end of the Cold War, many communist parties were no longer in existence. So they began an effort to do outreach to other political parties, and both our Democratic Party and our Republican Party had been sending representatives to China to talk to the Chinese Communist Party about how they could, you know, collaborate. So that was, that's one, I think, consistent with what she's saying.
Absolutely.
The other is the fact that international institutions like the United Nations and the WTO have essentially been co-opted and taken over by the Chinese Communist Party by systematically going after weaker nations that require funding or financial help. You know, in the case of the EU, it is Greece and Hungary that has been subject to this, and essentially using these countries as a means of essentially taking over these international institutions.
Yes.
And I would say, finally, I think, to your point about 5G, I think what people don't understand is the industry association that develops 5G standards,
yes,
has also been taken over by the Chinese. So the technology of 5G is essentially designed by China.
Wow.
This is the challenge that we face today.
We need to stop this. Let's continue with our callers here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. We welcome Ron and El Mirage. Good morning, Ron. Always good questions and always great guests, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir, and thank you for your service there, General Spaulding. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to bring up something. There was a lot of technology transfer that went on in the 90s concerning rocket guidance and things of that nature. And now the Chinese have more accurate ICBMs. I don't understand why we trusted them with that.
Great question, Ron.
For many years, well, it started with the Clinton administration, but I don't know if other administrations kept doing that.
Go ahead, General, please.
That's exactly right. Essentially, Hughes Aircraft and I don't remember the other company that was part of it, but essentially, China had a commercial satellite that failed on launch, and Hughes Aircraft and this other company went over with their engineers to help them figure out what went wrong, and in doing so, transferred the technology to create intercontinental ballistic missiles. And, of course, the State Department eventually fined both companies $32 million, but in the end, the United States essentially gave China ICBM technology by virtue of the fact that these companies were willing to give them the technology because the Chinese Communist Party were paying them to do so.
General, I appreciate that. Ron and El Mirage, thank you so much for being part of the show. The only thing we're lacking is time. But here we say this, General, as you being sitting in the B-2 bomber, the stealth bomber itself, you would say in the expression to either your person sitting left or right of you, stealth up. And I think in this country, we need to stand up. And we need to, of course, do something about this. This is dangerous, very dangerous. People, don't sit on your asses and think that this is something that the general just made up because he wants to sell books. This is someone who knows his stuff, obviously, General, we support what you're saying. I want to go back here to a conversation about the military side of the equation. With the Dongfeng 26, this type of missile, this anti-ship missile, you describe it as something that can be, you know, conventional warhead, thermonuclear warheads. Its main intent, tell me if I have this wrong, is to take out and sink our aircraft carriers, plain and simple. Is that what this was designed for?
That's exactly right. And if you think, if you go back to the beginning of the Cold War, where the United States decided that we weren't going to try to meet the Soviet Union on the full the gap, because they had essentially spent 40% of their economy on weaponry, that we decided to focus on our economy and our science and technology prowess, and really focus on using nuclear weapons as a deterrent for war. Then you begin to understand that, you know, with that, what happened with the Chinese is they've used these very inexpensive weapons, intermediate range ballistic missiles, and the United States really couldn't counter it because they were in a treaty with the Russian that was a holdover from the Cold War. And so they've created these very inexpensive ballistic missiles that are very capable. And in essence, we are spending 30 times what the Chinese are spending in order to project power into the Pacific, and we can't afford it. And this is where I was sitting in the Pentagon in 2014 and realizing we were in economic competition that, quite frankly, we couldn't win, because we had to spend 30 times what the Chinese were spending to essentially have the type of capability like the Dongfeng 26 that would take out our for a fraction of the $30 billion that a carrier battle group costs. They could take it out with one of these missiles.
Well, tell your senators and congressmen, ladies and gentlemen, that you're not going to put up with this crap. And I know President Trump seems to be taking a totally different direction, which is on the positive side. And I think you would agree with that, General, trying to remain keeping America strong where we need to be, because that would be a horrific war. And I know we don't have time as we go to about a minute before the break here. But when we come back, let's talk about that hypothetical war. God forbid it happens, where the United States, because of our treaties to defend Taiwan, that seems like it would be a big mess, and I know you'd have a lot to say about that. Ladies and gentlemen, still a few moments to get in on the conversation here. The Call to Rights radio show, bringing you the best guest, and I mean that sincerely, 602-277-5369 for the What Say You side, and nationally, 1-866-536-1100. I want to thank our producer, LJ, for pushing that button. I can see it here in the studio that we're pumping out 50,000 watts of pure freedom to each and every one of you listening on a Sunday morning. We appreciate your time, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to A Call to Rights, a show that encourages you to never be a victim, because a victim is someone with no options. Visit with us now as we investigate those options with guests from around the world. Get your calls in now, 602-277-5369. And now, here's your host, Steve Case.
And welcome back at 47 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen. We look into our future time machine. A future guest on the Call to Rights radio show with me, Steve Case. In weeks to come, Admiral Bobby Inman. He, of course, the former director, not recently, but a long time ago, of the NSA and the deputy director of the CIA will join us here on the Call to Rights radio show. And we always remind everyone that the last Sunday of every month, which happens to be the last Sunday, I believe is the 23rd of February, Jeff Cerdy, the incumbent mayor of Apache Junction and owner of AJI Sporting Goods, fills in right here on this radio show with our Second Amendment show. And how about this? As we project into March, we have a very special guest booked here, Dana Lash. You hear her radio show here, weeknights here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We'll be having her and her book, Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. How about those great guests and so many more? But our very special guest now, we honor what he's talking about, is Brigadier General Robert Spalding, the book Stealth War. General, talk about Taiwan. What are we obligated to do in the event that the Chinese Communist Party and military want to take back Taiwan? That would be one hell of a bad nightmare, wouldn't it be?
Well, the Taiwan Relations Act says that we're going to continue
to provide Taiwan with those articles that they need to continue their defense. I think one of the things that we've been focused on is trying to keep the balance of military power in the Taiwan Strait even. Of course, really for the last four administrations, we've failed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the use of ballistic missiles by the Chinese Communist Party. You know, we started working in 2014 to come out of the INF Treaty so that the United States could create these types of weapons for our allies and partners in the region. And in August, the Trump administration finally pulled out of the INF Treaty, allowing the United States to begin to build the kind of weapons, inexpensive but yet very capable weapons that would allow us to create the kind of deterrent capability in the region that the United States needed. I don't believe that the Chinese want war. Of course, we don't want war.
Absolutely.
The primary reason of that is because of nuclear weapons and the incredible damage that they could cause. Of course, during Mao Zedong's time, there's this belief that Mao wanted a nuclear war and wanted to get weapons from the Soviet Union. But back then, they didn't have the bridges and the cities and the highways and the advanced technology that China has today. So I think it's very much a hindrance or a deterrent for them to want to go to war with the United States because of the presence of nuclear weapons, which is why they're using technologies like 5G and artificial intelligence to essentially erode our freedoms. Now, there is a report called Engineering Global Consent. I encourage your listeners to read the report.
Yes, sir.
It was created by a Floridian working in Australia as a China scholar that is explaining about a company called Global Tone Communication Corporation,
mm-hmm.
which is a China big data and AI company that collects 2 to 3 petabytes of data per year for the purpose of providing its customers translation in 65 languages. It builds its technology in the Huawei equipment, and that company is jointly owned by the Ministry of Finance in China
wow.
and the propaganda arm of the Chinese Communist Party. The data that comes from that company, the 2 to 3 petabytes, 1 petabyte being 1,000 terabytes, goes to the intelligence arm of the People's Liberation Army and the influence arm of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
This is how globalization and the Internet is slowly creating the conditions for the suppression of our freedoms, like we saw during the NBA issue with Daryl Morey, who the general manager of the Houston Rockets, who was almost fired at the behest of the Chinese Communist Party.
You know, it's deep. They have their tentacles deep into America. People wake up, and, you know, this is no attack. Let me say this again so people out there, you know, General, I paste things on and post things on Facebook like you. I always use the moniker, This Just In, and I don't mean it, and I'm saying this in respect to our Facebook Live audience. We love you out there. But, you know, don't we get torn apart? I didn't say anything, whether I agreed with it or not. I just want people to read it and make up their own mind. So let's be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, in this tense social media world. But the real point is, General, the PLA is Unit 6139 with all their ability to do cyber attacks. The main thing I wanted to end off here in our, like, 6 or 7 minutes left here, and I wish time was, you know, more available, and hopefully we'll do this again. Talking about stealing intellectual property, this statement I'm going to make is not directed at every Chinese student or engineering student that comes here. But isn't it fair game to think that many of these students, their goal is to be loyal to the Communist Chinese Party? And if they're not, and if they're not doing surveillance or stealing the blueprints for the F-35 or the next generation, their family's social scores in China. This social score nonsense, hopefully God, please to God, never comes to America. Talk about the dangers of stealing intellectual property.
Absolutely. You know, I think that what people need to understand about the Chinese Communist Party is that in addition to the People's Liberation Army, they have something called the People's Armed Police. The People's Armed Police is actually has more soldiers than the People's Liberation Army, and the People's Armed Police are totally focused on essentially controlling what the population does. In addition to the People's Armed Police, they have the Ministry of State Security. The Ministry of State Security is like the Soviet Union's KGB. Between the Ministry of State Security and the People's Armed Police, they have control on every Chinese national, whether they're in within China
right.
or outside of China. Outside of China, the way that they control these students by essentially either through patriotism, which is essentially drilled into them from kindergarten to university level, or through the People's Armed Police and the Ministry of State Security, essentially putting pressure on their parents. And so the idea is essentially that they have created a system
that is advanced technologically, and have advanced algorithms like those used by Google, Amazon, and Facebook, but because essentially they have patterned their society, the way they control their society, off the advanced algorithms that companies like Google, Amazon, and Facebook use, plus they have paired with it, you know, the standard, you know, oppressive elements of regimes like the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany in the guise of the People's Armed Police and the Ministry of State Security.
So it's very simple, General.
Yeah. Anybody can do what they want without having the Chinese Communist Party be in their business is just, they're naive.
So folks, I'll summarize it from my standpoint, and this is my opinion. The General, of course, can respond in kind. The Communist Chinese Party is no friend of the United States and our Constitution. Simple, end of point. They're bad actors. They want to do everything, as we talk about your homework, ladies and gentlemen, unrestricted warfare. Read it. If you need someone to help, you know, educate you on what it means, we'll find those particular guests. Remember, no rules, nothing forbidden. And I'll be damned, General, I get a little excited here, and I'll keep my blood pressure. I didn't take my blood pressure pill this morning. But the truth of the matter is, this is insanity. Nobody, when we see these and I don't want to get political with you, sir. I want to keep it, you know, from your experience here. But from what we see on the stage, from what some of the Democratic candidates are talking about, God help us, in my opinion, if a Bernie Sanders was going up against the Chinese government, at least President Trump is fighting back and making sure that every single American, I think he's doing a fine job. Nobody's perfect. But God forbid, ladies and gentlemen, if this insanity engine that's starting off here, that's what? The 100th anniversary is coming up in what, 2049? Is that correct?
That's correct. And to your point about them being no friend of the United States, I encourage your listeners to Google Document Number 9. Document Number 9 is an internal Chinese Communist Party released in 2013, translated. You can read it online. It basically, I call it the anti-Bill of Rights. Because it details how our fundamental freedoms, our belief in universal human rights, are a direct threat to the rule of the Chinese Communist Party and specifically designed by America to destroy the Chinese Communist Party. This is what they believe. This is what they feel. This is what they're acting on. You have to become informed before you understand what you're truly dealing with.
Absolutely, General, and thank you for your service. I'll be your wingman anytime in the B-2 bomber, but I got to ask a question about that particular aircraft. What is one of the longest flights? I know this aircraft, without revealing national secrets here, you could fly as far as you can go until refueling takes place, but can you describe some of the long time that you're sitting in that particular seat? And I assume you're the commander of that mission, which would be what, right seat?
Well, so I've flown in both seats as an instructor and an evaluator in the airplane, and it's a long, it can be a long, boring flight, particularly if you're flying over the Pacific Ocean. You really get an understanding of how big a body of water that is, as you're flying for 20 hours over the ocean.
General, I shouldn't do this, but I'm delving into the Dr. Sky side with aviation. I just can't help myself. We had many meetings and very interesting interviews with General Cardenas. As I'm sure you know, the original flying wing, both the propeller version and also the jet version, I think that was amazing technology even then. So all that technology and a good part of it, I'm sure, came from what? The great work that Northrop and all the other companies did in the early version, what, of the flying wing aircraft?
That's true, and Jack Northrop actually got to see the B-2 before he died, and just to see that his vision of a flying wing has actually come to fruition. And, of course, the B-21 is going to come out here very soon. That's going to be an even more capable flying wing design that is even more stealthy than the B-2.
Well, God bless America, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless our special guest, Brigadier General Robert Spaulding. He, of course, has a brand-new book here, ladies and gentlemen. Get a copy of this, and I'm really serious, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We never got to the finance side of what they're doing and the money side. But, General, with a fair question to you, is it possible we could have you again in maybe a short order in the next few months to do this again? What say you?
Absolutely. Love to do it.
Well, thank you for your time, General. Appreciate that. And safe flying to all of you out there. And thank you for supporting America and your service to the United States of America. I'm Steve Cates, not out of energy. Certainly we could do this for 15 hours, and we would bring you the best guests in the world. Go to calltorights.com right now as we revise the website, where you can learn so much more about our very special guest and all the things that he is particularly talking about. It's an honor to sit behind this microphone. You ain't seen nothing yet, ladies and gentlemen, as we bring new ideas to this radio station. A station, ladies and gentlemen, that offers amazing programming 24 hours a day. Schedules change here, but what you'll see is a completely new lineup in many areas, with great shows, CBS News at the top of the hour, and so many other great programs here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Steve Cates signing off till, of course, next week, and thanking LG for navigating these 50,000 watts. Always refuse to be a victim, because a victim is simply someone with no options. Fight back legally and responsibly, and you bet, never be a spectator in the fight for freedom. We'll talk to you next week. We'll